his personal encounters with the Lord and how he wrote them down. So this wasn't public. These are things that happened to Daniel privately and he wrote down. But if we can get the truth in Daniel chapter 7, it'll change your life. And we can't have peace that passes all understanding. We can't have hope in the midst of all hell breaking loose all around us. What is the truth in Daniel chapter 7? And one of my favorite things in Bible study is looking at themes that we encounter in the Old Testament and how you encounter it again in the Gospels and then again in the epistles. And this may be one of the most powerful times that this happens in all the scripture. What is the word of the Lord today? What is the Holy Spirit saying to the church? Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel 7, in verses 1 through 8, you have some really weird creatures. Daniel sees some very strange things. I'm not going to read that this morning because the temptation in that is we get all caught up in that and we start thinking, oh, we all start kind of like, and scholars have done this, Christians have done this through the ages, is we start seeing weird things and these images, and then we start interpreting them through 20th century, 21st century imagery, and we miss it. So I'm not going to dwell on that this morning. I don't have time to dwell on that. But we see very strange images. And then in verses 15 through 22, he gets an interpretation of it. And essentially what you have, what Daniel sees, is a kingdom clash. And the interpretation that he sees starting in verse 15 are its powers that are arising, its nations that are arising, and they're clashing. And we've seen that throughout history, right? That isn't new to our time. It wasn't new to the 20th century. You have wars and kingdoms that are clashing against each other throughout all of history. But the thing that Daniel sees is that one of these kingdoms is coming after believers and is coming after Christians. And he sees these images, and he's greatly alarmed. And we see what's going on, and some of you have mentioned it on Facebook, and you see what's going on in Portland, and they're burning Bibles, and we're like, whoa, you know, it's rather frightening that we're seeing that in the United States of America. What's going on? It's frightening. And it's a kingdom clash. It's not only a kingdom clash against, but it's a spiritual kingdom clash. It's evil and light. There's a contrast there. And Daniel sees that. He sees this kingdom clash. But he also sees light, and he sees the Ancient of Days, and he sees the contrast. And if you look in verse 9, so he's seen these images, these scary images, in verses 1 through 8. And then in verse 9, it says, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. And his throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him, and thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. There's mockery. These powers are mocking all of this. And then in verse 13, haphazard in the language that he uses? He absolutely is not. He uses that title, Son of Man, very deliberately, and there is meaning as he does that. He calls himself Son of Man. And what I did in your outline is I just took the times that Jesus refers to himself as Son of Man, just in the book of Matthew alone. And I want to just highlight some of those. I'm not going to go through all of them, but it's powerful when you look at that, because that is a title, and it signifies authority, and it signifies messiahship. And that title, the Son of Man, and I've given it away, it's a title. It's a title. It's not just him referring to himself as a human being. No, it's a title that denotes authority and messiahship. And look at this in Matthew chapter. I'm going to highlight some of these. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. Jesus is teaching, and he's one who has authority. And you come to Matthew 9, and he says, "But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take up your bed, and go home." And so not only is he a teacher that has authority, but he is a teacher that has authority to forgive sins. Can just a human being do that? Matthew 12, verse 8. He gets in trouble because he's doing things on the Sabbath. His disciples are doing things on the Sabbath. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus says, referring to himself, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." That really ticked the Pharisees off, because they thought that they were the rulers, that they interpreted the Bible. And Jesus says, no, the Son of Man, he has authority over the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, he's prophesying about dying. And he says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea, so the Son of Man will do the same." He's going to rise out of that whale. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, he's talking about judgment. And he says, "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers." And again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, "The Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what he has done." If you have your Bibles, I want you to flip. I'm going to stop here on the Son of Man, but this is Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. Jesus takes James, John, Peter, the inner circle, Matthew 17. He led them up on a high mountain, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Jesus uses that title, Son of Man, to denote that he has authority, that he is the Messiah, that he is the judge. He not only is the Savior, but he is the judge. And he's transfigured before them. And they see Jesus, just a glimpse of who he really is, that he is God in the flesh. And Jesus, when he came, he was ushering in a kingdom clash. And as you see in Daniel with these kingdoms that are clashing, when Jesus came, he is baptized, the Holy Spirit comes. was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her, and Jesus rebuked that fever, and that fever is gone. He cleansed the lepers in Luke chapter 5. Once when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." And he touches him, and that man is completely made whole. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. John, his cousin, John the Baptist, was discouraged. They threw him in jail, and he sent some of the messengers and said, "Jesus, are you really the one? Are you really the one? Or do we have to wait for somebody else?" And Jesus, in Luke chapter 7, he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." He essentially quotes Isaiah 61 back to John. "John, I am. I am. I am the Messiah. Because the lame are being healed. The sick are being cleansed. The dead are being raised." When Jesus came to town, there was authority. There was a kingdom clash. The powers of darkness. Come over to Revelation chapter 1. What does John see? Revelation 1:12. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died. Behold, I am alive forevermore." What is astounding about that vision that John sees in Revelation chapter 1? You go back to Daniel chapter 7. What is it that Daniel sees? Daniel sees in verse 9, "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire." Verse 13, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him." What we see in Revelation chapter 1 is Jesus not only is the Son of Man, and you see that being unveiled in the Gospels, that he's the one, he uses that title, and there's a kingdom clash. There are healings. People are delivered when he was on earth. But he died on the cross, and he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. And what we have in Revelation chapter 1 is we have this Jesus who is the Son of Man, but this Son of Man is also the Ancient of Days. He's the God in flesh, and he is both of those things. And Daniel sees that. Jesus comes and lives that. In Revelation 1, we begin to see the fullness of that, and we are changed. Paul says we are changed from glory to glory. Daniel saw this. He saw it, and it amazed him. And he was completely, it says at the end of Daniel 7, that he's completely alarmed at what is he seeing. But what we see in Jesus is Jesus lived that out. And Paul said that we are changed from glory to glory. And we see Jesus, and we encounter Jesus. And my prayer for all of you is that you have Savior and you have encountered him. But that is not all there is. There is more to him. And Jesus lived and he died and there was healing and there was deliverance. And we have that now because he died on the cross. And we have in Revelation that this one who lived and he died, he's more beautiful. He's bigger. He's more holy. He's more of a of just glorious beauty than we've ever seen before. And in Revelation, what do we have? We have a kingdom clash. We have these powers and these nations, and darkness is rising. But we have an assurance in Revelation chapter 11 that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. As we see all hell breaking loose in our nation right now, as we see darkness coming, as we see darkness manifested, Church of the Living God, we need to pray, we need to stand, and we need to look at the glorious face of Jesus, because he's more beautiful, he's more holy, he's more high and lifted up than we've ever known. From glory to glory, whatever you've known in the past, however you've encountered him in the past, there's more about him. And we need to see him, and we need to be focused on him, and we need to stand, and we need to lift our hands, and we need to pray, and we need to get on our face, and we need to pray and intercede. But in the middle of all of that, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. The kingdom of all of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. When Jesus came, there was a kingdom clash. When we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're praying